Well, amen. Praise the Lord for the special music and just God's presence in this place. I'll tell you what, there's just no other place like it. Really not. I just love Lighthouse Baptist Church. Amen. The music we have here and the spirit, how people pray for the services. And it's evident. It's evident when you come to this place. It's just a tremendous blessing to be back home. Looking forward to preaching the Word of God today. John chapter 14. Be reading verse 16 down to verse 26 on this Memorial Day weekend. John chapter 14. If you would, go ahead and stand with me if you're able to. We'll read the Word of God together. As I read, you follow right along with me. John chapter 14 is a very powerful, powerful chapter in the book of John. Jesus is getting ready to go to the cross of Calvary, and before he goes to the cross of Calvary, he wants to comfort his disciples. And as we need comforted at any point in our lives, read John chapter 14, and you'll find that there's tremendous blessings there to receive from the reading of God's Word. But I want to drop down to verse 16 this morning. John chapter 14, verse 16. The Bible says this, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest unto us, thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. Verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. He shall teach you and bring all things to your remembrance. Let's pray. Father, we bow before you. And what a blessing it is to have the privilege to be in church today. Thank you for it. Thank you for all that are here that took advantage of their opportunity to be here. Thank you for what we've already received. What a blessing. But now, God, as we've opened up the precious, holy, eternal words that you have preserved for us, we've read this passage of Scripture, God, that I know that you have a message for us out of this. I pray, God, for each one here that they would open up and to receive it. And I pray that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Memorial Day is a federal holiday. It was established by Abraham Lincoln back in 1864. It was established to remember those who have died while serving in our armed forces. Yeah. The idea of setting up memorials, a memorial, according to the Webster Dictionary, that which preserves the memory of something. It preserves the memory, keeps it on your mind. The idea of setting up memorials is no doubt biblical. If you look in the Bible, you'll find in the very, all the way back in the very beginning, we find that God has had his people to establish memorials throughout the Old Testament. It's biblical. From Exodus chapter 12, verse 12 through 14, we won't take time to read that, write it down. It was a Passover. And God said this is a memorial that will be established forever. All the way through the Old Testament and even into the New Testament to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24, when it comes to the Lord's Supper. And the Bible says, this do ye in remembrance of me. Can I tell you that God created man, designed man, and God knows that man has a tendency to forget. Every wife here would say, isn't that the truth? Yeah. As we get older, we can have selective memory, amen? I can forget whatever I want to forget. Blame it on age. Yeah. But mankind has a tendency to forget. And if allowed, Satan will blind us to those things that God would have us to be mindful of. That's what we have to be aware of. Satan does not want you to remember what God wants you to be mindful of to live by. And he can blind the minds of God's people if we allow him to. That's why we find in John chapter 14 that Jesus addresses this. Now, he has been here and he had been teaching and preaching and discipling those that looked to him, especially the apostles, for they would be taken over the ministry that he would establish. And they would pass it on to the next generation. And then that generation would pass it on to the next generation. It's been some 2,000 years that we have continued to pass on what Jesus Christ established while he was on this earth. And we pass it on and we set up memorials. And Jesus set up things that would help us to remember what things that he has taught us. And so we find here in John chapter 14, again, there's so much here that we don't have time to go into all of it. But Jesus would keep his disciples mindful of God and the will of God while he was with them. He knew he was getting ready to leave. And that's when he says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another. He was a comforter while he was here. He was a reminder while he was here. He was the one that continued to help the disciples to stay mindful and stay focused on God's will for their lives while he was here. But when he was to depart, he shall give you another comforter. Another comforter. Ever since his ascension, Jesus lived. He laid his life down on Calvary's cross. He was buried. He resurrected on the third day. After 40 days of instructing his apostles after his resurrection, he ascended up to heaven. And the first thing on the agenda as he would ascend up to heaven, as he would leave the earth and he would ascend up to heaven, he would send to the earth the Holy Spirit of God, which is another comforter. We have had the Holy Spirit of God present with us on earth ever since. That he may abide with you forever. There's no end to forever. even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and he shall be in you. And then he gives us verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. And that's the key there. Whatsoever I have said unto you, Jesus Christ came. He came to reveal to mankind purpose for life. He came to reveal God's will for our lives. He gave instructions. He gave so much of the Sermon on the Mount. What a blessing, the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5 through chapter 7, the blueprint for New Testament Christianity. That has not changed. He presented so much truth to them that, if you will, it would be more than what the human mind would be able to be mindful of at all times. But it's not too much for the Holy Spirit to be mindful of. And it's not too much for the Holy Spirit who dwells within us to help us to be mindful of. We have need of the Holy Spirit of God in order to be mindful and to remember the things that God would have us to remember, the things that He has instructed us. The life that we have, He has given us to live. The message I want to preach to you this morning is the Holy Spirit, God's help for man to remember. A built-in reminder. But we find here, first of all, the Bible says that He, the Holy Spirit of God, will teach you. Now, all things pertaining unto what Jesus Christ had presented. Nothing beyond that. So when you hear somebody say, well, the Spirit of God told me this, or listen, if it's not Bible, He didn't tell you that. You might have had a spirit tell you something, but it was not the Holy Spirit of God. He is here to teach you what Jesus Christ taught us, and what Jesus Christ taught us has been written down and preserved in His Word. And He's been here to not only teach us, but remind us, as we'll see in just a few minutes, exactly of what He has revealed to us through His Word. But He shall teach us. I love Webster's 1828 dictionary of the English language, and that word teach, as we find here, is the definition is this: to communicate to another the knowledge of that which he was before ignorant of. So we're ignorant of the Word of God, amen, until we read it, until we study it, until we understand it. And it's the Holy Spirit of God that will help us to understand it. It's the Holy Spirit of God that will take that and He will relate it to us so that we might have the knowledge of what God wants us to remember. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I love this. Verse 9 through 14. As Paul writes to the church at Corinth, they needed to know this. We have it preserved that we might understand this. Concerning the Holy Spirit, God's help for us to remember. He will first of all teach us what we have need to remember. Today in this New Testament church age, you don't know anything that is biblical about God unless the Holy Spirit of God has taught you that. That's what the Bible says. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. You cannot have this. You cannot develop this in your own mind. You cannot develop this in your own heart. You cannot know this outside. The Spirit of God reveals it to you. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. You can't understand it, but the Spirit, being the third part of the Trinity, He understands it, He knows it all.
And as he knows it all, he searches the very deep things that no one can get that deep, no one can understand. But the Spirit of God, he knows those things. He dwells within you if you're saved, and he can reveal it to you. Yeah. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him?
No other man knows what's really inside of you. Might have a good idea, but they don't know. But you know. You know exactly what you allow to come into your heart and mind. You know what's going on in your life. So he says, understand you, so we can understand that. Then he says, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save that Spirit, that small letter S, Spirit, your spirit, a man which is in him. Even so, as you know what's inside of you, even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Wow. He teaches us. He teaches us. Which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But then know this, but the natural man, the unregenerated man, the man that has not received Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, you don't have the indwelling of the Spirit of God. So the natural man, the lost man, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. That means that can only come to you by the Spirit. You see, he will teach us. He will teach us through what Jesus has established, that we can know what he has said unto us, so we can understand what he taught us, as he taught the disciples and he taught the apostles. How do we know what he taught them? How do we know? We have the written down. He brings the Bible to life. And he makes it applicable. If you read the Bible and you can't get anything out of it, and you don't have a desire to go back to it, and you don't have a desire to take something from it, chances are you're not reading it with the insight of the Holy Spirit. That means you're either lost, because you can't have access to the Holy Spirit unless you get saved, and you can only get saved by trusting Jesus Christ. And when you trust Jesus Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, God sends the Holy Spirit, another comforter, to dwell within you. It's Christ in us. So you're either lost, or you have allowed Satan to blind you to the Spirit's voice. I don't know who is. You know. Every individual know. But the Bible says that's what happens. Jesus established the full revelation of the words of God while he was here. And then he allowed his apostles and those that he would use to write during the apostolic age the completion of what Jesus presented to them, New Testament Christianity. He brought that to us. He established the Bible. And as we read it, with the help of the Holy Spirit of God, it brings it to life. Amen. He also, Jesus, while he was here, established his church. He established his church for us to do just what we've done here this morning. Been doing it for some 2,000 years. Meeting in his name, presenting his truth, having the Holy Spirit of God revealing it to us. Sensing the presence of God in this place. New Testament Christianity. He established his church. His church has the same doctrine today as it did 2,000 years ago, because it has the very same authority that we had 2,000 years ago, and that's the completion of his word. We have the very words of God preserved for us, written down, preserved for us, that we might look to them. And when you're looking to them, as we assemble ourselves together and we preach his word, the Spirit of God's here to teach us. Amen. Amen. You might not understand about salvation, but you read the Bible or you come to his church and you hear the Bible being preached. It's the Spirit of God that reveals, that teaches you that you have need to be saved, teaches you that you have a need to be baptized, teaches you you have need to obey the commandments that God has established, to live a life that that actually is following after the life of Jesus Christ. That's Christianity. Christ-likeness. How do I know what Christ was like? We have his written down word. And we have the Holy Spirit of God revealing it to us. Yeah. Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1. Everybody following me this morning? This is good. This is good food right here. This is powerful spiritual food that God has for us. Titus in chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, servant of God and apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the knowledge and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, but hath in due times, New Testament Christianity times, but hath in due times manifested his word. Remember what Jesus says, he's going to come to you, he'll manifest himself to you. He has, in due times, manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God, our Savior. See, if you come to church and you're in a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church, and the Spirit of God is not speaking to you through the preaching of God's word, one of two things. You're either lost. And if you're lost, you're sitting there thinking, this is foolishness. Why did I come? Why am I here? I mean, what's going on here? That guy's up there ranting and screaming and preaching. And you might think that the preaching of the word of God is foolishness. The Bible says you'll do that if you're lost. If you're not saved, you can't know God. You can't know the Spirit of God. You can't know his truth, because you'll think him foolish, because Satan wants you to be blinded to the truth. We have a spiritual warfare taking place here. The devil wants you to be blinded to the truths that God has made evident in his word. So you're either there thinking it's foolish, that means that you're lost, you're not really saved, because you can't understand the words of God, because you don't have the Spirit of God revealing it to you even while you're hearing the preaching of the word of God, and you think it's foolish. Or if you are saved, then you have not yielded to the Spirit of God. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, being filled with the Spirit. Being filled is, he's already in you if you're saved, but yielding to him. When you come to church, you're yielding, saying, God, speak to me. God, speak to me. And he will, because it's his design, it's his plan. To the lost world, they'll think it's foolishness. And to you, even if you're here this morning and you're not getting anything out of it so far, and you don't even sense the presence of God here, it's because you have been blinded to the truth. But you're here, and there's an opportunity for you to yield to the truth. And when you yield to the truth and you receive Christ, then you will have the indwelling And he will ever be with you to reveal more and more. He'll teach you and teach you and continue to teach you what God has for you to learn. Isn't that great? Praise the Lord for that. Well, not only will he teach us the second part of this, he'll bring all things to your remembrance. Once you have been exposed to the scriptures, once you have been exposed to the words of God, once you have learned things that God wants you to learn, it's the Holy Spirit of God inside of you that will help remind you. Yeah. Now, throughout my married life, our anniversary, I had a reminder of that. Because our second daughter was born on our anniversary date. I never have to worry about forgetting our anniversary. Because she would remind me, Dad, it's my birthday. And I'm thinking, oh yeah, that means it's our anniversary. Yeah. Praise the Lord. I've never forgot our anniversary. Amen. Because of that, because I have had a reminder until she got married and moved on. But now, now it's old age. Sorry, honey. It's just age. But what a blessing it is when you have a reminder, somebody to remind you of things that you need to remember. God's Holy Spirit in us. He's not only there to teach you. You can't learn the things of God without him. You can't. It'd be foolishness to you. But with him, it makes sense. It's applicable. It will help you with him. But not only will he teach you, he will continue for the rest of your life to make you mindful of things that God has taught us. You see, once we've been taught spiritual lessons, we need to remember them. This is where conviction and chastisement come in. Conviction of the Spirit of God and chastisement of the Spirit of God are reminders that you can't live like a lost man. God has a purpose and a plan for your life. That's evidence of salvation, conviction, and chastisement. Matter of fact, look with me to Hebrews chapter 12 real quick here. Almost done. I only got a couple more things here, but I want you to receive it. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, or my child, born again believer, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, remember what Jesus said? You receive him, receive his words, you live his words, he'll love you, he'll come to you, he'll make it all revealed. Whom the Lord loveth. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons, or you're not truly saved. Because if you're saved, God deals with you as a son, a child. And conviction and chastisement will be a part of him helping us to remember. You're saved. You're to represent Christ. You're the light of the world, the salt of the earth. Don't ever forget it. He will also remind us of lessons learned. Lessons learned. There's so many lessons that God has taught me And he continues to teach me lessons, as he has you, and he will you. Been saved for 55 years. Saved at 8 years of age. And God started working in me to make me all that he wanted me to be. In 55 years, I guarantee you there's been many, many lessons that God has taught me. Can I tell you that God wants us all to learn some of the very same things? That was a lesson, and I won't go into all of the details, but to trust in God's word. And I remember thinking, if I'm going to trust in God's word, I have to know that I have God's word. And I researched and studied the Bible to come to the conclusion that I believe the King James Version of the Bible is God's every word for us today. I learned that lesson. If you have some other type of Bible, can I tell you, you can look at it as a commentary. Man's idea of what the Bible says. But if we're to live by every word, Jesus says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. I have to know, if I'm going to trust in God's word, I have to know it's every word. I have to know that what I read here is every word that God wants me to live by. And then I look at it and I read it and I accept it, whether I agree with it or not or understand all of it or not, I accept it because I know it is God's word to me. Lesson learned. Took me through a series of events, a lesson learned to wait on the Lord, not to give up. I don't have time to go through the main thing that God took me through to help me to learn that lesson, but it's a lesson that I want to be reminded of. Wait on the Lord. Don't give up. God's not giving up on you. Don't give up on God. Wait on the Lord. That's a lesson that he'll teach all of us at some point, I believe. A lesson to accept God's will, even when it's not what you wanted. Heard that in song this morning. There's always confirmations in the church that know that I'm right on cue with what God has for us. Yeah. To accept God's will, even when it's not what you wanted. I remember Herbie Thacker, seeing him hit by a car and died in front of me while I was crying out to God to save his life. Wasn't God's will. Learn to accept God's will even when it's not my will. But the one I want to share with you, just a couple thoughts. The lesson God taught me to always be in church serving God and be ready for whatever God wants to use you to accomplish. As a late teenager, early 20s, time of running from God's will for my life, out of church, God brought me back through a motorcycle accident, a crash. I had Ron Midgley on the back of my motorcycle. Car pulled out, teenage boy pulled right in front of us. We hit it right into the side of his car going about 45 miles an hour. Both of us go airborne. I mean, if you could see the video, I can see it in my mind. Here I'm going airborne, Ron's right behind me. Instead of landing in the street, we hit at an angle. We hit in a culver that was full of water, mud. It acted as a blanket and a mattress. The only thing is, Ron's landing was a little bit easier than mine. I hit the mud, Ron hit me. The force of his body hitting my body did something to my spine, and I was numb. I couldn't move my legs. And I remember crying out to God. Can I tell you, when you know it's not a coincidence, when you know it's not conscience, but it's the Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit of God will always point you to God when he's working in your life. No one else has the ability to tell you, this is God chastening you or God working this. No one else, but you will know it.
And I remember when that happened, I couldn't move my legs. And I remember looking up and crying out to God and saying, God, help me. Took me in an ambulance to the hospital, and I got in the hospital, and then my feeling started coming back, and the doctor said that it was just the weight of his body on my spine that just temporarily did that. But I thought, no, God did that. Got back in church. But I soon forgot. I was out just a couple months after that, out of church. I only went back for just a little while, but out of church again. I'm good driving down the road, and a friend's 67 GTO. And he's encouraging me to get into it because it was a muscle car, and I just hit third gear. I mean, it was screaming, and I hit third gear, and the leaf springs on the back, if you know what I'm talking about, they broke. And the rear end pulled back. And as the rear end pulled back, it had a drive shaft. And the drive shaft went into the pavement. And the car flipped. We rolled over three times. And I remember in that car, still very visible in my mind, because we rolled off the highway and into another muddy field. And I remember hitting, and it's slow, when you go through something like that, it's like slow motion. But I remember hitting the ceiling because I was up. And then I would look down, and I hit the floor. Look back up, it hit the ceiling, and hit the floor. And everything was spinning on the outside. Flipped over three full flips. And I remember in the midst of flipping in that car, I remember me thinking, God, help me. God, help me. Landed upside down after three flips. Wind is everything busted out. It's almost smashed. And I got out of that car with just a couple little scrapes on my back. I remember sitting at the side of the road, and the police came and said, you're lucky to be alive. I said, luck had nothing to do with it. I got back in church. But after a while, I thought, maybe that was just luck. About another 2 months later, I'm out of church again. My friend's driving now. He's got a 72 convertible Corvette. I'm enjoying riding with him. 72 convertible Corvette. Going down the backcountry roads, going to our house. And there again, he wanted to show me how fast his Corvette was. And he punched it. About the same time, we got in a little ravine, hit some water. This convertible Corvette hit the water, swerved around, went over a little bit of a ditch, rolled over one time, hit a tree. We're upside down in a convertible Corvette. All of the roll bars, which are the top for the Corvette, come together. The only way it was strong enough to hold us up, come together, and it was landed on these three, made a roll bar, and now we're in the Corvette with these three roll bars and next to a tree. And we start smelling gasoline. Gasoline is now coming from the gas tank, and it's saturating our clothes. I remember, God, you got to help me. God, you have to help me. I walked away from that with not even a scratch, but with a mindset of any spark, I would have been burned alive. You think that would have been enough? Oh, I was in church probably for the next 2 months. But the thing that I remember today is what happened next. I was working at Bob Baker Chevrolet over on Shadeland Avenue. If you've been around the city for many, many years, you know, I remember that. In the body shop. Preston Wilson, a young man, a couple years older than I was, come up to me and he said, hey, my girlfriend, she was 9 months pregnant. My girlfriend's been telling me that I need to get saved. She's been on me telling me I need to go to church, I need to get saved. Do you know anything about that?
Now, I'm not in church. Don't feel like that I have any right to say anything to him about knowing what he was talking about. And I remember telling him, no, don't know anything about that. That night, he stole a motorcycle. And he was going down Washington Street, coming up on Post Road, 100 mile an hour, police behind him, 100 mile an hour. A car pulled, turned in front of him. He hit that car 100 mile an hour without a helmet on. Flew through the air, hit the curb, busted open his head, he died. I went to the funeral. And this is so vivid in my mind. His 9-month-old girlfriend walked by the casket. She grabbed a hold of him. She pulled him out of the casket. And she starts screaming, "You can't leave me! I need you! You can't leave me!" Break my heart. If I would have been in church, I would have told him how to get saved. I would have led him to Christ. Could have possibly saved his life and his eternal soul. From that point forward, I said, "God, I'll never be out of church. I'll never be out of your will. And I'll be ready to give an answer to anybody that asks me about you." Lessons that God has taught us that we need to remember. What lessons has God taught you that you have forgotten, that you need to be reminded of? Whatever there are, I trust the Spirit of God right now will remind you. I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. The Spirit of God wants to speak to you. I never want to forget the lessons that God has taught me in my life. And I know that God works this way in each and every one of our lives. What lessons have God taught you that you have walked away from? Let the Spirit of God help you to remind you of truths that He has taught you and wants to remind you of today. Father, we bow before you. I love you, Lord, and thank you for how you've worked in my life. Thank you for where you have placed me. And I pray, God, as we have preached your word and shared some of the lessons that you have worked in my life, I pray, God, everyone here has had similar things taking place. Help us to be mindful. If there are decisions that we need to make right now, whether to be saved or to rededicate a life, whatever it might be, God, work in the midst, bless in this invitation. For it's in Jesus' name we pray.